Prof.
He's on mute.
Yeah. So just to let you know, for the benefit of working group members that cannot join this call, Jane will be just recording what we talk about here and sharing it in Basecamp at the end of the call as an audio recording.
Okay.
Yeah. Because typically a lot of our friends are from different time zones, so usually, more often than not, we don't make very key decisions on the call because a lot of them can't join. But we try to use Basecamp as the key platform to discuss certain matters lah. So I think since we have Raju and Prof. Xiao on the call now, I think we can start. Let Jin take over the meeting.
Okay, so just to briefly cover the agenda for today, we'll be going through a quick recap for the previous call and then the things that we have done since then. And then we'll go through briefly the CIR framework, outline the document that was shared with you guys on Basecamp, the scope, the structure, and the timeline, and see if everyone is agreeable. And then lastly, any other business. Okay, so starting with the quick recap of the previous call. So previously, our call was to mainly brainstorm for some ideas for the deliverable title and scope. And as the working group has decided on the title, it's the Cloud Incident Response Framework. And also from there, we have come up with the outline with the suggested areas in the scope. So let me share with you my screen. Okay, so this is the outline that was shared with you guys. So like we said just now, the title is confirmed to be the Cloud Incident Response Framework. So the objectives is the same as the one in our charter, basically to cover some of the key causes of cloud incidents that are both security and non-security related and their handling and mitigation strategies. So the scope of the deliverable over here, we can see that we added two of the documents that were suggested by our working group members. So first of all, we have the ISO document, the requirements for incident response. So basically this document, a large part of it seems to focus on disruptions due to natural disasters. And I think it's useful to consider this document where the cause of incident or outage falls under natural disasters. And then the next one is the FedRAMP incident communications procedure. This document is largely aligned to the NIST document that we are already planning to incorporate in our document. Although this document, if you have read it, it's very US-centric, I think it's still useful in some sense in like where we can, how we can determine who and when to inform at each stage of the incident response process. So Sun Tian made a comment on the scope. I think he was commenting on the charter document over here. So he was pointing out that this scope over here, the developed industry-specific standard regulations should be removed because this is just a framework. I think we are all, I agree with this point to remove this, especially we are not really going out for standards and regulations. So if anyone thinks that we should still incorporate this, his suggestion is to change this to develop industry benchmark and best practices rather than standard and regulations. So anyone has any viewpoints?
I think we can remove it.
Okay.
I think as just to add a point, as a Cloud Security Alliance, typically we come up with guidelines, framework. So I think from Cloud Security Alliance's viewpoint, we are okay to remove it because eventually when anything, any of these research artifacts that we create, if it's deemed useful enough by the industry, then eventually we will feed it into an international standardization process. For example, the recent 21878 on server virtualization, that was what we did. But we did not set out to do it a standard or regulation. But right now, but because of the it being quite useful, it was eventually incorporated in ISO 21878. And I think that's a great thing. So I don't think we need to set out in mind to do regulations since we are non-profit.
Okay, so...
So if there's no strong objections, we'll just remove this point.
Okay.
From our deliverable, and I guess in the future, because the thing about CSA research is that it's quite dynamic and flexible. So in the future, if we see some sort of a route towards this direction, then we can include this or update the project charter again. So that isn't a problem.
Okay, moving on to the structure. So this is the brief skeletal structure that we have provided for the working group to ponder upon. So if there are any additional points that you think that we should be incorporating into this structure, you can just let us know. I'll maybe upload the Google documents of this structure so that everyone can contribute.
I think just to put some points out for you know, for food for thought, because we have previously made a call on Basecamp for working group members to, you know, suggest various cloud incident response relevant documents for us to refer to. So now we have a range of documents. For those who are online, if you know of any other relevant documents that addresses cloud incidents, please feel free to just inform us and we will add that in. So the main point here that was discussed in the in earlier calls was that we are not just looking at cloud outages, but we are looking at, you know, incidents. So anything that has to impacts the regular operations of cloud, this framework, we try to address it. This framework not necessarily need to be a very detailed one to start off. We could come up with, say 10, 15 pager kind of high level framework, followed by future deliverables that tries to, you know, flesh out this the first documents and go into more details. That's the nature of a lot of our CSA research artifacts as well, because we want to still keep each of these documents bite-sized and easy to digest for the industry. I think one of the things we need to think about is how do we look at this whole range of different documents and think about how to, you know, get the how to put them together to make sense as a whole. A lot of CSA documents or research artifacts, right, what we do is that we have we base the frameworks on, say, a certain well accepted one. For example, we could use NIST, we could use the Singapore Cloud Outage Incident Response Framework as a base, and from there we try to build up the skeleton what we do for the other documents that we think are relevant is that we point and refer to certain clauses within these other documents to say that for this particular part of cloud incident response, we can we advise users to refer to these other documents. So the end result will be something that a user can just come to this one document and be able to get a sense of various best practices around the world without having to, you know, like what we are doing now, look through a whole range of different documents. So this is not the one and only way to do it. I'm just putting it out, you know, as food for thought for everybody. I guess eventually when, like Jane said, she put this skeleton structure up on Google Docs, and us collaboratively can, you know, make comments on what we think could be a good way to present such a framework. So yeah, so just some comments from my part. By the way, just to quickly introduce myself, my name is Hao Jie, and I'm the research director for CSA for APEC. Jane is the research analyst based in APEC. So both of us are based in Singapore. So at this point in time, just want to check if anybody has any questions, comments, suggestions.
Maybe a question from my side. Mm-hmm. I missed the first call, mm-hmm. but it reflects the comments earlier in the message board. Is the scope to be narrowed to only security incidents or just incidents in general? Just a question.
Yeah, so right now we are looking at incidents in general, because I guess for a lot of incidents that when they happen, say when normal operations of cloud is affected, a user don't necessarily know that it's a security incident. It could be because of a misconfiguration or a very careless colleague. So I think this framework, we could still limit the scope to security in that we can help the user to determine what has happened. But if it's non-security related, the framework will stop there to say that, you know, you can then take other measures to mitigate whatever that's causing your the cloud operations to be malfunctioning. But we can just then for the security aspect, we can go deeper in detail. So that's one thing that the working group can decide on also. But I think in the previous call, we thought that a good way is to start with the user not knowing what is causing the incident to happen. So that's a better way to help them mitigate whatever that's happening. Because not all users are very familiar with pinpointing the actual cause.
Yeah, that's clear for me. Sorry.
No worries. Any other questions?
I think just a view. I think we should keep it as incident. So it could be security or non-security, anything.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Suresh. Okay. If there's no more questions for now, I think Jane can continue.
Okay, so moving on, I think that the coach has agreed upon not discussing too much into points 6 and 7, the guidelines for CSCs and CSPs. And according to the timeline, we will be discussing this after phase 1. So we'll push this back and this will be discussed further in details next time. But for now, we'll be discussing more on the first few points. And if you have any other pointers that you would like to address more on, we could also include it in the Google Docs that I will be sharing. Okay, so Sun Tian also suggested a few other things on his comment on Basecamp. So the first point is merging of the complements using any AI tool. I think it's not necessary that we are going to use any AI tools for now. Like Hao Jie mentioned, we just need to come up with a way to incorporate all these documents that we've talked about so that we can present it in a logical manner.
I think also it's going to be a non-trivial problem if you want to use an automated tool to try to merge frameworks that are not, sometimes not apples to apples comparison for each other. So I think we will depend on the subject matter experts in the working group to help us out here.
Yeah, I Raju here. I was the first the chair of the COIR standards. So the COIR original documents have merged a lot of material from ISO and NIST and all that. So the final product that we have from the COIR guidelines is already a merged entity. So we just have to probably add to that or take in clauses that were security related, which are not part of the COIR guidelines. And I don't think there's a need to merge a third party document at this stage, but that may change as the discussions become more mature.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And actually, when we talk about merging, we actually talk about referencing them rather than take substantial pieces and try to put them together. So usually we refer to document names, certain clauses, and then we leave it up for users to, you know, do their own homework and research. But as a guideline from CSA, typically we just do this referencing so that users don't need to run around and find all these documents on their own. I'm not sure, Raju, do you think, because the COIR, which you said is quite comprehensive already, is based on cloud outage. So probably we might need to do some thinking along for that to generalize it for cloud incidents rather than focusing on outage, right?
Yeah, that's true. But we referenced, to be very specific, we referenced ISO 27035. ISO 223220,
mm-hmm.
that was out in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
We also referenced the NIST 861
mm-hmm.
to some extent, though not fully. And of course, when it was all merged together, it became the technical reference 62, which is basically the Cloud Outage Incident Response Guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it does contain a lot of material except for the security portions, but the security portions have been referenced as being out of scope, but in terms of having a reference in the sense that they were complemented by the MTCS guidelines. which was a different committee. So I agree with you, Haujie, that I think we should leave it as referenced and not part or merged with the main document.
Yes. So I think one suggestion, if we think that the COIR technical reference is pretty comprehensive, then I think, like I said, we probably need to think about how to generalize it. So it's a little bit about working backwards, because right now when an incident has happened, then we need to help a user, perhaps go down some kind of a decision tree to make sense of what is happening and how to mitigate the incident. Whereas in COIR, I think it straight out assumes that outage has happened, because when a complete outage is easier to determine. So I think it's more of maybe to rejig a little bit of the structure of COIR in order to fit what we are trying to do here, and use that as a base. And then from there, we reference other security-related frameworks that were initially out of scope in the COIR-TR. So I think that might be a good way to do
that
it.
That's a good idea, because the COIR, it goes very deep into mitigation as well as all the reporting standards. We don't need that level of detail for this specific guideline. And we can work backwards. I don't know whether that document of COIR is available for our overseas friends to take a look at, and maybe if we can put it also on the same platform for everybody else to access, then we can get better.
Yeah, so the technical reference is actually available in Basecamp already. We got the permission from Enterprise Singapore to for our use for the working group. So we have uploaded a version that is approved in Basecamp for everybody to take a look at.
So I wonder whether Richard and Sean are able to access that document.
I think as long as you are logged into Basecamp, you should be able to download the shared files.
Yes, I can see it right now.
Yeah.
Can I say something? Sorry, I couldn't join.
Yes,
there was
Prof.
a technical problem. Talking about the MTCS, I don't think MTCS is really relevant to this standard, CIR standard at all, because that is of a classification of the capability in security for the cloud. This one is an incident as a result of security incident. I think might not be compatible.
Thanks, Prof, for your comment. I think I agree with that, because previously I was kind of involved in a little bit of MTCS work when I was still working at IDA. So that goes into security controls. But here we are looking at identifying and mitigating incidents of cloud that affects our normal operations. So I think it's a little bit of a perpendicular kind of topics to talk about rather than in parallel. But I mean, that could be, as we go along with the framework, eventually if there is some kind of alignment there, then we can add in the reference. But for now, I don't think it's very aligned with what we are trying to do here. So thanks, Prof, for your feedback.
You're welcome.
So maybe I can just ask the rest of the working group members and also our co-chairs if they I think Jane has posted not yet posted, right?
The outline is posted.
So I would suggest for members, if you have not had the chance to look at this reference documents that we have uploaded and shared in Basecamp, to take a look at them. In particular, the cloud outage incident response technical reference that I think Raju and I think Prof also previously helped out with. So that's why that's kind of part of the story of why they end up helping us out with this working group. So if there are no strong objections, right, we think that it might be a good base to use the COIRT technical reference. And perhaps to rejig it so that we start off with not knowing what's the cause of the incident to start with. So I think there is a need to just relook the structure that is currently available. Later, Jane will reshare it again in a Google Doc, and we see how we can rejig that to fit the structure for the cloud outage incident response technical reference. Is there any other comments from the RAS that are online? Okay, everybody's on mute. Okay, I am assuming that there isn't much comments from the rest who are online at the moment. I think what we can do, like I mentioned earlier, we will try not to make very key decisions here on the call because a lot of them, the rest cannot join. We'll continue this discussion on the collaborative document that Jane will be sharing with everybody on Basecamp. Feel free to give us your suggestions and feedback there. And I think it will take a little bit of time to get the structure locked down. So once the structure of the document is kind of more confirmed, then we will be making call for working group volunteers to write the different sections in the document. That's how typically in CSA research artifacts are done. It's a very community driven kind of development process. Don't need to worry about whether your part links to the other part. Eventually we will still have our copy editors who are based out of the US to help us with this. So we'll be taking this one step at a time. I'll just do a quick ask again if there's any other questions at this point in time.
I'll say I've got no questions. You're doing really good. No comment.
Great. Thank you. Thank you to those who are not. thank you to those who are not in our time zone for joining us today because I know it's hard. So in that case, we'll be calling an end to this call, and Jane will be who has jot down some of these key points. She'll share with us later. And we look forward to active participation on Basecamp. We'll try as much as possible to do the discussions, more of the discussions there. Although sometimes I think for our Asia colleagues, some of them are pretty shy to participate very actively. But we hope that we can get this very active working group to be even more active. Great. So without any other questions, I think we will end today's call. Prof and Raju, do you have any other things to say?
For me, no, I'm good.
Okay, great. So thank you everybody for your time.
Right, thank you for your time.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.